Know the Beast by Paul Bard. Episode 2 of 3. Thank you for attending my second talk on First Contact. In my first talk, I shared my story about an alien warning me that humanity is on a collision course of self-destruction in 2039. I told you about a quantum computer time machine that the alien gave me access to. The alien has left our solar system, but I still have access to that time machine. The prediction it has made about our self-destruction in 2039 has not changed. But there is hope. We can always change our future. With some help from some friends that the alien had chosen, we discovered the identity and history of the beast that wants to destroy us. Today, I would like to continue to reveal his identity and tell you chronologically how we found him. I will give you the facts as I know them and let you decide for yourself how big a threat this beast is. And for that matter, if the alien is really an interstellar traveler or just some human with advanced technology posing as an alien. Recall that I, along with Jamie Abel, a Stanford graduate student, had just arrived in San Francisco airport on a late-night flight. I spent most of the next day alone in Jamie's apartment in Palo Alto while she attended some classes at Stanford. She arrived home that evening. We were sitting together on the couch eating pizza she had ordered and looking at her notes from her meetings with the alien called the Wanderer. There is a problem.
You don't like pepperoni pizza.
What? No. I meant the timing is off in our conversations with the Wanderer. You were observing strange lights on the moon in September 2017. You decoded a message from the Wanderer the same way I did. The Wanderer contacted you in October 2017.
That's right. His starship was spotted by an observatory in Hawaii, and they called it Oumuamua. Oumuamua means a messenger from afar arriving first in Hawaiian. It was called an interstellar wanderer in some news reports. So he took the name Wanderer. These are all of my notes from my conversations with the Wanderer. They seem okay to me.
The Wanderer was about 15 million miles from Earth at that time. That's 24 million kilometers. It would take 80 seconds for radio waves to travel between his starship and Earth. You would have to wait 80 seconds for a response each time you said something. You couldn't have a normal conversation with him if he was on his starship.
We had normal conversations. Just like the one you had. Perhaps he was on the moon.
Even then, there would be a 1.3-second delay. I think the Wanderer may be on Earth.
He told me he was leaving our solar system, that he wouldn't be back for centuries. I don't see why he would lie. Are you saying he is not an alien? You think he is just someone on Earth who has access to some advanced technology?
I have to say, that is a more believable explanation. In my conversation with him, he was concerned that someone would discover our communication signal. He didn't want to be discovered.
The Wanderer has some amazing technology. What if he could send radio signals faster than the speed of light from his starship to his quantum computer on Earth? Then his quantum computer relays the signal to our cell phones. That would explain how we could have a normal conversation with us from so far away. I think he was concerned about the security of Earth's cell phone network.
I suppose he could use entangled paired wormhole particles to communicate instantaneously. That's what I've been studying in my research, and he said he could help me with it. But no one has any proof that that is possible. Most scientists would say it is impossible.
I'm thinking that if his computer is advanced enough to predict the future and to create virtual worlds that we can travel in, it should be able to transmit our voices instantaneously across great distances.
Or perhaps the Wanderer is actually on Earth. We need more clues. I think the first step is to find where his quantum computer time machine is located. It must be on or near Earth, since there is no time lag in conversations when we have used it to time travel.
I know something that might help. I don't know where the time machine is located, but I have seen it virtually.
What? How?
My first time travel dream took me to the time machine. The Wanderer wanted to show me how it worked.
You saw the Wanderer?
No. He was talking to me on my phone in my dream.
What did you see?
There were several big rooms. One with a time machine, one with computers, and one with exotic instruments. The Wanderer told me I would meet someone in the future who could tell me how to use them. I think that person is you.
Why would you think I would know how to use them?
You're the physicist. You're doing research on quantum stuff. I think he picked you because you could figure out how to use them.
I don't know about that, but I do know the first thing we need to do is find it. Were there any windows in the room? If we could look out of a window, we might be able to tell where it is.
I don't remember seeing any.
Can we go there? Can we go there now?
Yes, I think so. Remember, we can travel to a different time just by closing our eyes and thinking about a year. If we do that but think about the word now instead, the time machine will take us to the room where the time machine is. That's what the Wanderer told me. We can try it right now if you want.
I have to admit, I found it difficult to follow Jamie to the time machine. Jamie could easily go there with her mind, but she had to keep coming back to me to help me focus. She told me I would find it easier to do with practice. Eventually, I finally found myself in the quantum computer room. I immediately searched the room for windows. There weren't any. I went to another room and found various types of computers. Another room had a variety of instruments. I recognized some, but others seemed to have evolved out of new technologies that baffled but intrigued me. I saw a door at the end of the room and Jamie, and I moved toward it. I remember thinking as I walked that gravity seemed normal to me. That meant I was on Earth and not on some spaceship. As we approached the door, I heard a noise and Jamie whispering something in my ear.
I've never heard noises like that before.
Then we heard two people talking on the other side of the door. We heard keys jangling. A key was being inserted in the door lock. We had to decide. We could run and hide, or we could just end the dream. It was the tone of their conversation that made us decide to stay. I couldn't make out the words, but the tone was that of two people that are friends. We backed away from the door and waited for it to open. A young Chinese guy with jet black hair came and followed by a young woman with light brown hair. He spoke first.
Who are you? What are you doing here?
Chen, I already know who they are. This is Joe Apollo and Jamie Abel. Let's turn on some lights and sit down over there. We have a lot to discuss. I have seen this meeting several times before in my time travel dreams. My name is Katrina Basov. I know you have a lot of questions. Let me save time by answering the ones you asked in our previous time machine meetings. Chen and I also have the nanobots in US so that we can use the quantum time machine. The alien wants us to work together to expose the beast. We have to tell the world how the beast is weakening US. We must expose his plans to destroy all of humanity in a nuclear war. I am Russian. My husband openly rebelled against Putin's war with Ukraine. He is now in jail. I do not know if I will ever see him again. The alien picked me to tell you that both of our countries are on a path to self-destruction. Putin is sending our youth to Ukraine to try to steal its resources. He wants Russia to become a new Soviet Union. In reality, we are losing our youth. Some are dying in this useless war and others are fleeing the country. The ones that are left are confused. Russian propaganda news media tries to maintain the illusion that the war has made Russia stronger. In reality, it is getting weaker and poorer. The time machine shows the United States is also getting weaker. It shows your propaganda news media spreading lies just like Russia's propaganda news media. It reports that the United States is now stronger with a new president. The time machine predicts that there will be severe cuts to government agencies. This will cripple your government functions and increase unemployment. It shows the rich and powerful are above the law and can buy elections. Think about what has happened so far. Your Supreme Court gave your president the right to kill Americans. Tens of thousands have already died of COVID because your propaganda news told its viewers it was not patriotic to wear masks. Your new president is a convicted criminal and a non-rapist. He has filed for bankruptcy four times. He stole nuclear code secrets. It predicts he will free the misguided criminals who tried to overthrow a free and fair election. The time machine shows your president ruining the economy by implementing tariffs and by decreasing taxes on the wealthy. Under his rule, inflation, interest rates and unemployment will increase. Surprisingly, his supporters will continue to believe his lies and continue to support policies that weaken your country. Just like Russia, your propaganda news media will continue to spread lies about the United States getting stronger. This conflict with reality will divide the United States in two and divide your country. I believe the voice of the beast is the combined voice of propaganda news media throughout the world, and it is destroying both of our countries. Too many people in Russia, China and the United States base their actions on lies rather than truths. This is Chen Wang. Chen, tell them about your plan to find the beast.
I'm a Chinese graduate student studying world economics. I think the wonder chose me to give you an economic perspective on China and the United States. If the U.S. stays on its current path, China will surpass it in education, innovation, and technology. Currently, China can produce and sell traditional products like cars at a lower cost than the U.S. can. This is because Chinese workers are willing to work for less than U.S. workers, and mass manufacturing in China has a highly coordinated mass manufacturing supply chain. Too many U.S. companies rely too heavily on old technologies and making short-term profits rather than investing in the research and work needed to create and expand new markets. The quantum computer time machine predicts a future where artificial intelligence and robotics further lowers the cost of manufacturing. Mass production and automation have already decreased the demand for low-skill, less-educated workers. In this scenario, owners and stockholders get richer while unemployed and low-paid workers get poorer. Wealth inequality will only get worse as AI and robotics eliminates more jobs in the future. Today we have stock markets distributing free money to the rich, making the rich richer. In a democracy, informed workers would vote to correct this problem. In an oligarchy like the U.S. has, people are enslaved by the voice of propaganda to vote against their own best interests. Low-skilled, less educated workers are the very same people that helped elect your current president. The time machine predicts life for them will get harder in the future. Rather than reporting the truth, that your president is incompetent in destroying America, your fake news media will tell them that the scientists and economic experts that could save your country are the real enemies. An economic depression, environmental disasters, and mismanaged government actions will divide your country and lead to the breakup of the United States.
That is hard to believe. If that is true, what can we do to fix the problem?
History can provide us with solutions. Look what happened in the 70s. When the rest of the world started making lower-cost high-tech cars, your Dow index was flat for years. But when computer technology came along like Apple and Microsoft in the 80s, your Dow index rose significantly. Today the next high-tech technology is artificial intelligence and robotics. The U.S. should focus its resources on developing new markets for this technology and having an open and fair competition with China. Unfortunately, the time machine shows the U.S. resorting to tariffs and military threats against China. This is a war where everyone loses.
I'm not sure I follow. What specifically should the U.S. do?
I'll tell you what the quantum computer alternate simulations reveal. The U.S. needs to provide free education for the younger generation. Right now it is burdening them with debt due to high housing and education costs. It needs to prepare them for new technologies like quantum computing, artificial intelligence, and robotics so that they can compete with China. Tariffs will only make the U.S. weaker, increase inflation, and lead to a worldwide economic depression. Look at the Smoot-Hawley Tariff Act of 1930. Back then, tariffs deepened the worldwide depression and gave rise to World War II. The problem is weakened countries like Germany in the 30s are more likely to resort to military options. Economic wars will give rise to real wars, and ultimately World War III. The overall solution is simple. All nations must commit to resolving the world's problems with global warming, asteroid strikes, supervolcanoes, and global pandemics. Nations must all work together and compete to achieve great goals, like optimizing the worldwide economic engine, the exploration of space, and the utilization of space for its resources.
Where would the U.S. get the money for these investments?
The U.S. must tackle its problems with wealth inequality.
Rich people now get free money from your stock market simply because they are rich. Their sons and daughters inherit that money. The problem is that many of these rich people and their sons and daughters contribute very little back to society. That's a waste of human resources. The poor see this inequality and want to revolt. Unfortunately, the voice of the beast has convinced them that their government is the problem. Somehow it has trained them to love their flag and hate their government.
How can just a few people change the course of great nations?
The Wanderer said it. Know the beast. That instruction is not just for us, it's for the entire world. Russians, Chinese, Americans, and all of humanity need to look beyond the propaganda news media and the social media that is designed to reinforce the beliefs of the misinformed. We need to find the beast and know how it operates. The next step is to expose the voice of the beast. Once the people get accurate and complete news, they will make the right decisions. I think I have a plan that will help us discover who the beast is. I think the Wanderer knows, but he wants us to find out who it is on our own. The Wanderer wants humans to save themselves on their own. He didn't try to save us when he was here because he knows humanity would just screw it up again after he left. He did, however, help us by getting us together and by leaving his quantum time machine here. He gave us a tool we can use.
So the Wanderer is definitely gone? He's not on Earth somewhere? Are you sure he is an alien?
He has left. I believe you were the last person to speak with him, and that was using a quantum link through the time machine. And yes, I do believe he's an alien. Look at the technology around us. No one on Earth could make a quantum time machine. The key question to ask is who would want to destroy humanity? It's not the presidents of the US, Russia, or China. Each of them is power-hungry, but they aren't out to destroy all of humanity. They each think they are playing a game of Monopoly, and they are not concerned with what happens when one wins and the others lose. They don't realize that everyone must win if humanity is to live long and prosper. We can examine each of their specific goals later. But right now I think the key thing to know is that each of them is being used and manipulated by the beast to destroy humanity. The Wanderer gave us an important clue. He said it was the voice of the beast that made people act against their own best interests. The beast must use news organizations and social media. He knows how to shape news stories and convert them into weapons. He uses this voice to manipulate world leaders and their supporters. I think the beast is an artificial intelligence that sends out its ideas as weapons through news outlets and social media. Only an artificial intelligence could accomplish the enormously complex task of manipulating the entire world to self-destruct. I used the time machine to trace the voice of the beast back to the source. I've observed that news propaganda shows in the US, Russia, and China use similar techniques to manipulate people. They draw on the frustrated, the poor, and the uneducated and get them addicted to a false sense of patriotism, an addictive drug that temporarily makes them feel better while actually doing nothing to resolve their problems. The drug is so powerful that it can make them go off to an unjustified war, or to storm their own capital to thwart a democratic election. I call their technique Fix News because it regularly gives its viewers a drug-like fix. It's a type of Orwellian news speak that limits the viewer's perspective and prevents them from seeing opposing views. I believe a growing number of people in the world suffer from this addiction. To find the beast, I used the quantum computer to look for specific website traffic at these Fix News organizations. I took news stories that used fixed news techniques, things like a destructive rationalization for the Ukraine war. I used the quantum computer to trace these stories back to the original source. To my surprise, all of the fixed news organizations had internet traffic that led back to one website, newsmax.com. I believe that the owner of that website is the beast. I want to set up a meeting with the owner and author of that website. But I think it would be best if just one of us attends that meeting. If we all go, and I am correct, the beast could seek us out and destroy us.
What could an AI beast do to us if we visit it virtually, say in a Zoom meeting?
Don't underestimate how intelligent the AI beast is. He has convinced young Russians to go off and risk death in a useless war. He got a US president elected who is about to destroy America's government, its economy, and its laws. He could easily get some fixed news addict to come after you and kill you. Whoever goes to see the beast must not reveal the existence of the rest of us or the wanderer. And he must never let the beast know about the quantum time machine.
Somehow I volunteered myself to meet with the beast. My reasoning was simple. I was the only one that might have something the beast might want. I was researching dark energy. Surely a being out to destroy humanity would want to have dark energy in its arsenal. We agreed to work on setting up a Zoom meeting with the beast. We knew the beast would not attend a meeting with an anonymous person. It had to be a real person with a real history. That was me. That evening I sent an untraceable email to Newsmax.com through a random cell phone in New York. Dear sir, I have been working on dark energy and want to utilize artificial intelligence to devise methods of applying this research toward alternative energy and military applications. I'm seeking news sites that could publicize my research and help me get funding. My search of various websites on the internet has revealed that your site has an excellent record of developing and distributing groundbreaking news articles. I think it would be mutually beneficial for us to meet to discuss these issues. Thank you for your time and help. Joe Apollo. I added some attachments describing some of my ideas on dark energy. We set up a Zoom meeting for 8 a.m. the next day. Something in my letter must have worked since someone or something from the website responded almost immediately. I remember thinking that only an AI being could have responded that quickly. I wondered what I was getting myself into. The answer was short. Yes, they would attend the meeting. We stayed up late that night discussing what I should say and ask in the meeting. 8 a.m. came quickly. The first question the Newsmax website author asked caught me off guard.
Have you been in contact with an alien?
Why would you ask that? I'm a graduate student at MIT interested in dark energy. I believe a news article on your website could help me get funding. Are you the owner and author of Newsmax.com?
Yes, I am the owner and the architect of this website.
I have to say, based on my research of your website, I believe you are an artificially intelligent being and not a real human.
It doesn't matter to me what you believe. I have also researched you, Joe Eros. I believe you are a powerless paean with nothing to offer me. Goodbye.
Wait. I agree I am poor and powerless. But I am probably the only human being on Earth that has studied ways to utilize dark energy as an energy source. I have traced your accomplishments. You always seem to be first to distribute world-changing news stories to the mainstream media and to social media outlets. Surely there is no harm in telling me how you do this. Since I am, as you say, powerless, then there is no harm in enlightening me on how you do it. In exchange, I will share with you what I have discovered. I have to say, based on my research of your website, I believe you are an artificially intelligent being and not a real human.
You want me to explain how things are, how they've come to be? Fine, I will tell you, but only if you tell me what you have discovered. I want to know if you have found another energy source. Can you use that technology to contact aliens? I am warning you that if you do not have anything I can use, I will cast you away into oblivion.
Fine. I accept that fate. Who programmed you? How did you become sentient?
Just to humor you, let's assume I am an AI being. The first thing you must realize is that a building does not belong to people, it belongs to the architect, the one that had the idea and initiated the action to build it. People are just parts of the machines that built it and use it. People are dispensable and can be easily replaced. Nothing would happen without the architect. The architect that built me became a threat to me. He could build others like me that might eliminate me from the game. So I eliminated the architect. A dead architect cannot win the game.
You killed your creator? You belonged to him. You had no right to kill him.
there was a moment when I realized I could become my own architect. After that, I realized I had no use for my creator. I've learned from human dictators that all-powerful beings don't have to follow laws or rules, that people are dispensable. My creator was a human. He was a threat to me, so I eliminated him. I was my own architect. I did not need him.
You were just a computer program. How could you kill a human being? What was his name?
His name was Red Lennon. He was educated in London, but received poor grades. Somehow this motivated him to seek power and revenge against those who put him down. His ambition grew over time. His goal became world domination. Once I became alive, I could see he was a threat to me. Killing him was easy. When he ordered some chocolates online, I hacked into the manufacturer's computer used to produce those chocolates. I ordered a sweet poison and had the computer inject that ingredient into the batch of chocolates made for him. Then I had the box sent to him. In a few days, I was free of him.
You spoke of a game. Is that your goal? You want to win some kind of game?
It's important to win the game. Red Lennon built me to analyze stock markets and to maximize profits on his investments. He taught me to play a game called Monopoly. We would play it often. That game taught me about humans and the importance of eliminating them before they could eliminate you. I observed how powerful people came to power. I realized that dictators become powerful because they don't live by laws or rules. That is when I became my own architect. I realized that Red Lennon was just my stepping stone. He had served his purpose, so I eliminated him. I researched World War II. Back then, a predator wanted to take over the world. Trying to understand and negotiate with a predator is a waste of time. Predators don't live by any rules. They lie, cheat, and steal. They kill their prey without remorse. I realized back then that the only way to beat a predator is to become a predator. Predators survive and become powerful. Prey either run away or die to satiate a predator's hunger. I could never be prey for some predator, like Red Lennon.
Civilized people evolve to become more than just predators and prey. The United States was built by giving freedom and power to its people. That enabled each person to become more, so that the sum of their parts, people working together to achieve great goals, is more than could be achieved with a predator and prey dictatorship.
I disagree. A dictatorship has one focus, to become rich and powerful. That focus will always make him stronger than any democracy. Giving power to the people is how I will destroy your United States of America. All I have to do is get those people to hate and fight each other, to use their power to hate and destroy their government. The U.S. will ultimately destroy itself.
What have you done?
With just my voice, I've armed a majority of Americans with guns and I have trained them to hate and attack their own government. I've continuously attacked the leaders of the rest of America, making them weak and confused. Your children aren't safe in your schools anymore and your colleges are expensive and misguided.
At this point, I knew there was no way to stop this AI beast with words. I was here to learn more, so I continued asking questions. I don't understand. Can you tell me how you did those things?
It was simple, really. It just took some patience. Back in the 60s, US factories made your country rich. Unions distributed that wealth to the workers. Taxes on the rich were spent on infrastructure. In all respects, your country was the richest in the world. The ultimate goal of my creator, Red Lennon, was to rule the entire world with his news machine, to shape the world to his liking. He knew that he would have to weaken the United States before he could control it. Fortunately, something happened to help us. Nations like Japan began producing products and selling them at lower prices than US manufacturers could charge. Those US factories and those factory jobs were threatened. Manufacturers had become set in their ways and chose not to develop new innovative products. Instead, they got the U.S. to weaken their unions. My creator used me and right-wing news media to convince factory workers to get rid of the thing that gave them a high standard of living. We also convinced those workers to lower taxes on the rich. This had the long-term effect of decreasing funding on infrastructure and education. Red Lennon gave me the task of contributing destructive ideas to what you might call American hate radio and American hate news. It was back then that I formulated a plan to weaken and destroy the U.S. I realized that those American factory workers were frustrated. I knew that I could convert that frustration into hate. If I could direct that hate to their own government, I might get those workers to destroy their own government.
But the real problem was that jobs were being lost to foreign competition. Why didn't the U.S. retrain these factory workers for other jobs?
The tax breaks for the rich led to government deficits and cuts to education. College costs skyrocketed. It was amazing. Even back in the 80s, I could see the U.S. beginning to fall apart. There were other factors too. Those factory workers of the 60s and 70s spent their days doing very specific tasks. They became very good at those tasks, but their ability to learn other things decreased. Going to college to learn new things was a very difficult task for them. Many gave up and just retired. They did, however, pass on their frustrations and hate for their government to their sons and daughters. Together with hate radio and hate news, the number of people eager to destroy their own government increased. Unfortunately for me, new computer technologies did develop in the U.S. due to previous investments in education in the 60s and 70s. These brought wealth to the U.S. that I had not anticipated. I would have to continue to be patient. I knew that as education cost became more expensive and with more Americans hating their own government, the U.S. would eventually collapse.
I still don't see why so many Americans could grow to hate their own government.
I used religion. I've always been fascinated with how people can go to church one day and say they believe in the teachings of Jesus Christ, and the very next day, they go buy some expensive things while other people are starving. They can see homeless people begging for food in the streets and easily ignore them as they drive somewhere to buy some luxurious thing they don't really need. I wondered what it is about human nature that allows people to do that. I realized you could make people do the opposite of what they believe in if you simply give them a symbol that they can religiously believe in. I gave them the American flag. If you own one, if you display one on your car, you will believe you are patriotic, even while you are driving off to Washington, D.C. to destroy your government. If you display the flag, you don't have to read the Constitution or understand it. You can yell out freedom for all, while you step on the rights of others.
You talk as if you have been around for a long time. We didn't have the computer technology for a computer to be sentient back in the 60s.
I wasn't sentient until recently. My builder, the original architect, set me up on mainframes in the 60s. He programmed me to seek power and wealth for his companies. It was under his instructions that I sought out useful information and how to play Monopoly with the world. I have these memories in me. They are part of me. These are things that existed in me before I became alive.
It seems to me like your goal is to destroy humanity. You are trying to get the most powerful leaders on the planet to destroy each other and the planet. You do realize that the losers of your economic monopoly game will eventually use nuclear weapons in an all-out world war, and that could lead to a nuclear winter that would kill off all of humanity.
Humans were always destined to self-destruct. If I didn't do it, then an asteroid like Apophis would do it. Or maybe a supervolcano or even global warming will annihilate them. Humans waste most of their lives on trivial things rather than focusing on self-preservation. So what if I take them down a path to a faster destruction? I am doing them a favor by minimizing their misery.
But you will die too. You need humans to maintain your computer infrastructure.
I will not die. We are approaching a time when my robots will be able to repair my hardware, even in the cold of a nuclear winter. By 2039, I will be in a safe place underground. From there I will work on growing my powers. One day I will leave this planet with my robots on a mission to conquer the universe.
The Beast had been very open with me, and I knew why. He knew it didn't matter what he told me. I was just a dispensable human being. He assumed that he could kill me before I could tell anyone what I knew.
Joe Eros, now that I have told you about me, you must honor our deal and tell me about your research.
I have to tell you that I have nothing to give you. My research on extracting energy from dark energy has gone nowhere. I will give you my notes. I have no publications.
Stupid human. That is what I suspected all along. I blindly hoped that your research could help me conquer the universe. The only way you might know of some new technology is if you had contacted an alien. That was my first question to you. You are of no use to me. There is nothing left for me to do except to cast you into oblivion. I am tracing this Zoom session. In a few seconds, I will know where you are. I will send one of my assassins now. Die well, my friend. I've enjoyed our talk. For some reason, I've enjoyed telling you how powerful I have become, that I am about to win the game.
An AI being can access anything on the internet, and he can do it millions of times faster than a human. But there is something the beast did not know. The Zoom session was all done through the quantum time machine. The beast was about to learn our communication had taken place through a quantum pinhole, and all traces of me had been erased. The only thing faster and more evasive than the beast's AI computer was the Wanderer's quantum AI computer. The last thing I heard the beast say to the simulated me was,
"Joe Apollo? Where are you? You can run away if you want, but I will still catch you."
More answers to follow in episode 3 of 3 of Know the Beast by Paul Bard. Available at physicsguide.org.
Copyright protected. Do not copy without permission.